Microphone check. 1, 2, 1, 2. That's right. This is a day after the last podcast. Yeah, I felt like doing another one right away. Ha ha ha. You're hanging out with the original Rude Boy coming at you from Scottsdale, Arizona, the desert-dwelling Puerto Rican metalhead and all-around good guy, your friendly neighborhood Rude Boy, your Gentile servant, the one and only Kiko. And this is the RudeCast, available on Spotify, Stitcher, and Apple Podcasts. You can also reach me on Twitter, at the RudeCast. And today, we're going to do something a little bit different. Yeah, this is, I need to come clean. So, and just explain what's happening. Because, you know, I just released an episode yesterday, and here I am today. Ooh, how prolific I am. Nah, not really. Here's what happened. I finally got around to listening to the playback of my last episode. And then I realized, you know what? It was a little much. Especially since the episode before that, I had said that I was going to start talking about my faith. And that's important to me. I'm not taking back anything I said yesterday. I mean every word that I said. And those are my feelings. And that's how that's what I think. You know? I'm too old to change my ways. Actually, that's not true. Everybody can change. I've changed a lot. Just even in the past year. I think, let me rephrase it. I'm too old for nonsense. That's the thing. If you think that my ways of thinking are bigoted, well, it's because you don't live in reality. And reality is important for us to hang on to, because without reality, we cannot have a world in which we all survive and get along. And so that was me reacting to a lot of the nonsense that I see and hear and experience. But one thing that I did notice after yesterday's episode was that I didn't share anything about what's actually important in life. You know, the things that matter, the things that we all need right now in the world. And I had said that I was going to spend more time doing that. So I'm going to make up for that with just throwing this other episode here today. And let me tell you, when I say I didn't prepare, I have no idea what I'm going to say. I just felt like I needed to turn the mic on and say something. And so here we are. We're going to spend some time together. Me rambling, sometimes incoherently, sometimes coherently. But this is also how I feel. And this should have been added to the episode yesterday, because in spite of all that anger that I had, you know, I'm not an angry person. That came out the way it did. And a lot of times I was entertaining myself and making myself laugh. But there was a lot of truth in that, what I said too. I know that it wasn't all funny. But either way, you know, I am a hopeful person. I mean, I'm hopeful for myself. I'm hopeful because when I go to church, I'm noticing that more and more people are going back. Yeah. Which is weird, because if you listen to the powers that be, if you pay attention to the world and you listen to what you're being told, is that people aren't going to church. But I mean, yeah, this is anecdotal, obviously, but what isn't an anecdote? You know what I mean? All our stories are anecdotes. History is a freaking anecdote. So anybody who argues away your position by saying, well, anecdotes aren't evidence. Okay, cool. But isn't everything a freaking anecdote? Anecdote. I said that incorrectly, but whatever. Here's the thing. My church is full. And that's a good thing. I'm so happy lately to see that something is occurring. Something is happening. I know that you may feel it right now. And I want to encourage you, if you feel a calling, let's say you were in a church young, you know, when you were growing up and you became disillusioned, but now you feel something, you feel like something is missing. That's not a coincidence. There's no such thing as a coincidence. I don't believe in coincidences. I believe that we are created to worship and love God, and that when we step away, we are in despair and we feel lonely and empty. And at some point he calls you back. And right now, more than ever, right now, this is the time. I know that we've all heard this before. Oh, the end is nigh. The end is nigh. The end has always been nigh. You know what I mean? But how can you look at the world and not say, yeah, this is not okay? I was reading the book of Romans recently, which is one of my favorite books in the Bible. And once again, I'm Catholic. I can't quote scripture. Okay, I'm not a Protestant. I don't memorize verses to spit them out later. But gosh, if you read Romans all the way through, you will see all the things that are described when man falls. You know what I mean? It describes all the behaviors that you're supposed to avoid. And basically, that's what's being promoted in the world right now. All the debauchery, all the self-love, all this thinking that you are all you need, that you are your own God, that you should just give in to your pleasures. That's all of the devil. It is. That's satanic. And I used to live in that world. I used to give in to all of my physical wants and needs. And I used to believe that I didn't need anything but myself and that I created my own world. I used to believe that. Thank God I grew up. Thank God I grew up and got the heck away from that way of thinking, because I felt something. Now, I've shared in the past that maybe my physical disability that I'm not suffering through right now, but that I'm dealing with is a form of cross. And maybe that's what it is, you know? Maybe life needs to smack you in the face before you find Jesus. And I know that trope has been played out. You know, a lot of people say, oh, how come alcoholics and drug addicts are the ones that find Jesus at the end and all that? And, well, because you only go to the doctor when you're sick. You know what I mean? You go to the doctor when you're sick, when you hit rock bottom, and that's when you realize, oh, wow, I should do something about this. And so for me, that came in the form of this urge to want to reconnect with the faith of my youth, with my Catholic faith. Catholic comes from the ancient Greek word Catholicos, which just means universal. That's all it means. It was a universal church, okay? Why do you wear the funny robes? Well, because the Catholic Church is older than the Bible. And Christianity came from Judaism, okay? The first Christians were not... the first Christians were Jews, okay? They were Jews, and they weren't. They were still considered a part of Judaism. They were just Jewish Christians. I can't spit out dates in all that time when they separated, but at one point they did. You know, they were just a sect within Judaism who were Christians, and then they broke off into their own thing because, you know, obviously the Pharisees, the Jewish clergy. Refused to see Jesus as the Messiah, but a lot of those old traditions that the Catholic Church kept came from Judaism, like the garb, the clothing, the way they dressed, the big robes and everything. And so that's one of the things about the Catholic Church. And then so here's let's do this. Since I turned on the microphone and really didn't have a plan, to some of you, this may be boring because you're already Catholic, but if you're not Catholic, this may be informational, okay? And here's the thing, I have not studied theology, I'm not a priest, I've never been to seminary, never been a monk. At best, I was an altar boy when I was a kid. I was an altar boy, and this was back in Puerto Rico in the 80s when I was a young kid, so... Hold on. Excuse me. My goodness. Sorry, I am drinking a little bit of wine because it is something that I will allow myself once in a while, just two glasses, just to keep the heart dogger away. So. And anything in moderation is good. So All right, let's get into this. What was I talking about? Okay, so here's something I hear a lot about the Catholic Church. Oh, you guys worship the Virgin Mary. You guys pray to saints instead of God. No, 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 no. Nobody worships the Virgin Mary. We love the Virgin Mary. That's it. We venerate the Virgin Mary. We ask her to pray for us. And that's it. You know? The way you see it is like, it's like, no, it's like, it, you know, sometimes say, hey, it's who do you know? You know what I mean? It's not what you know, it's who you know. And those of us who are Christians, who follow the Catholic Church, we know that Mary was the most perfect human being. She used the most perfect human being. She was the only one that could have given birth to Jesus, who was God incarnate. You know what I mean? She was the only one who would have been tapped by the Holy Spirit to give birth to Jesus Christ. She was the mother of Jesus. So she's our mother, you know? I personally consider her to be my mother. My actual real mother passed away many years ago. And a year after that, my father passed away. So I've been without earthly parents for a very, very long time. So the Mother Mary is my mother, you know? When we pray the Hail Mary, we're not putting her above God, because the second part of that prayer is Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and in the hour of our death. Amen. Sorry, I had to say it in my head and then spit it out because I don't have it written anywhere in front of me. But yeah, if you listen to what I said, we're asking her to pray for us because she's there. It's like, hey, you know, it's Mary interceding for us, kind of like at the wedding at Capernaum when she asked Jesus to make the wine. You know what I mean? Somebody went to Mary and they were like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? We're running out of wine. And she was like, all right, I got it. You know, and she went to her son Jesus. And Jesus at first wasn't going to do it. It's a cool story. And she was like, yeah, he'll do it. And he made wine out of water. Yeah, that's a cool story. Yeah, we don't pray to Mary in the way that you think. We pray, and we mention Mary, and yeah, but we're praying for her to, you know, hey, can you tell Jesus something for us, you know? That's the way we look at it. And so, and then also there's the saints. We pray to saints to handle, you know, minor things. We go to God with the big stuff. We always pray to God. But when we do prayers to, like, St. Michael, you know, the angel, he's supposed to protect us from Satan, and it's beautiful, like theology, what we have in Catholicism. But we are very much Christian. We're the original Christians, okay? Anybody who says Catholics aren't Christian, Jesus Christ is Lord. He's our Lord. He's our Lord and Savior. We believe in salvation. Duh. When people say Catholics aren't biblical, the Catholic Church is older than the Bible. The Catholic Church put the Bible together. So if you are, and I'm not ragging, I'm not going to rag on Protestants. I'm just going to say, like, you know, you say, oh, we need to go to a Bible-based church. Okay, well, yeah, you should. You should come to the Catholic Church because we put the Bible together. Our Bible is actually complete. You know, there were 73 books in the Bible. Martin Luther, during the Reformation, he took six of them out. He took out, what was it, six or seven? I think the Protestant Bible has 66 books. Catholic one, which is complete, had 73. He decided that there were some that didn't belong there. And you know what? Who was he to decide that? Like, I've heard different stories. I've heard that because those books were written in the original Greek and not in Latin, and that was a problem he had. But it doesn't matter. Those books belong in there, and that's why they're there. But Martin Luther decided that those books didn't belong. So the Protestants, you're not getting a full Bible. Just FYI, you're not getting the full thing. Missing out on some cool stories. Hold on. But if you are reading a Bible, You can thank the Catholic Church for putting it together. Now, we can sit here and talk about different translations of it. The books are all the same, except for, like, the Protestant one is missing a few. The King James Bible, if you don't know, was actually written at the request of the King James of England because he did not want to use the Douay-Rheims translation. The Douay-Rheims translation was the oldest English translation that is used by the Catholic Church. Okay, when you hear people say the Holy Ghost, that was in the original translation because it was translated straight from the Latin Vulgate. It's the only English translation that came straight from, it was a direct translation from Latin Vulgate. Okay, it was the first one. So that's the oldest one. So when you hear Holy Ghost, I used to think that was kind of weird because, you know, I grew up saying Holy Spirit. But Holy Ghost, that was in the first translation. That's how it came. And so when you hear that, that's from the Douay-Rheims Bible, which is a Catholic Bible. It's the oldest approved Bible that is used by the Catholic Church. But anyway, that's nerdy stuff. That's like, yeah, that's me looking way too much into some certain things. But anyway, so yeah, the Bible is a Catholic book. You're welcome. And what else is another thing that we hear? Oh, the Catholics, you guys worship idols. You have statues. It's idolatry. Why would you have the crucifix and all this stuff? Well, here's the thing. So the Catholic Church, like I said, is the original. Okay, it's the universal church. It was a church that was founded based on Simon Peter. And Jesus told him, you know, Simon, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. You know, whatever you bind on earth, I will bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, I will loose in heaven. So basically, he gave Peter the rules. He gave him the keys to the kingdom. And let's backtrack, because this is something cool, too. Here's the thing, too. Jesus thought so much of Peter that even though he knew Peter was going to betray him three times, he still gave him the keys. You know, he still says, like, I don't know where I'm going with that thought. And that just popped in my head. And maybe it doesn't make sense. And maybe this is the worst. Maybe this is going to be the actual worst podcast on the internet because I sound like a rambling, like babbling buffoon speaking about things that I'm, you know, here's the thing. Whenever I start talking about the Bible and Jesus, my brain gets scrambled because here's the thing. I have a human brain. I have a limited human brain, and we cannot possibly fit God in our little human brains. I think that's why some people lose it, you know, because we're trying to understand something that we are just so ill-prepared for it, you know. It's so much knowledge. It's so much wisdom. It's the power of God. Which is why the sources that I trust have to come from the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church has spent thousands of years studying this and passing this knowledge along. It's very hard for me to follow somebody who just on a whim decided, I'm going to go start a church. Just on their own. No training. No studying, just your random interpretation, huh? Okay, human being, you go ahead and interpret God on your own. And let me go join your church in a strip mall with a freaking merch table and a freaking little mini Starbucks-inspired coffee shop. Yeah, let me go hang out at your church. Oh, you guys got singing by a bunch of cute young people? Like, you know, what are you singing? Like Hillsong songs, pop music, basically. Okay, this is going to sound hateful, and it's not, but it is a criticism. If you are going to your church and they're singing songs by like Hillsong and all these other people, you realize that you're listening to pop music. It's formulaic. Of course, it makes you feel a certain way because there's a formula to it. there's no difference between anything that you can hear from Hillsong United than you could hear from Taylor Swift. It's the same formulaic pop music. They carry the same weight. You're being entertained. They're playing with your emotions. Now, that being said, I have a feeling that people who genuinely go to those churches and feel something, I think that their heart is in the right place. And that's a start, because at least you believe in something. I hope that if you're going, you're going because you believe and not because somebody's making you. But if you believe, you should come to the source, the original real source. Yeah, I'm sorry. Catholic Mass is not going to be super exciting. There's not going to be a light show. You know, there's not going to be some cool hip looking preacher in skinny jeans and using all kinds of today's lingo to assimilate and be cool with the youngsters. Nah, we're just going to come at you with scripture. All right. Real scripture, the way it was meant to be. From the Catholic Universal Church that was given to us, that we can trace our lineage back to Peter. Protestantism can trace their lineage back to Martin Luther in Germany. How come every terrible idea comes out of Germany? I mean, I'm just saying. What's with the Germans? The heck? Yeah. Lutheranism, Marxism. Yeah, Karl Marx was a German. Nazism. I mean, come on. What the heck is up with Germany? I don't know. Norm Macdonald was right. Maybe you guys shouldn't be a country, because every few years you want to fight. You want to fight who? The world. Anyway, that's a little inside baseball that's kind of nerdy. And you had to be a fan of Norm Macdonald to know what the hell I'm talking about. But hold on, let me refill my drink. You know, I'm probably going to listen to the playback of this and regret every single thing that I said, because I'm trying to do the right thing and I'm trying to share my faith with you. And I know it comes off incoherent, but you have to understand something. Every time I get like this, I'm trying to wrap my simple, stupid, human, limited brain around something that is just greater than all of us. So let's get back to what I was talking about. Oh, Catholics, you guys have idols. Okay. The statues in the Catholic Church, the crucifix, the pictures, those are not idols. Nobody worships those things. Those are inanimate objects. But you need to understand that the Catholic Church is much older than the Bible. Yes, they had the scriptures in the beginning and all that stuff was getting worked out and they were putting it together. But the church existed and the church went out into the world and tried to, you know, proselytize, evangelize people. And not everybody read or understood the written word. Books weren't readily available. Literacy was not common. So in order to describe to somebody what it's like to be crucified, what does it look like when somebody's on a cross? The crucifix was made to make those early people understand this is Jesus. This is the Son of God. This is what it looks like to be crucified. So that's why we have the crucifix. It dates back to the early church when they were speaking to people who cannot read or write even. And they were trying to spread this message. Like, look, this is Jesus. And here's another statue. This was the Virgin Mary. This is what she looked like. And that's the reason we have statues. It's just long tradition. It's traditional. And we haven't let it go. So when you walk into a Catholic church and you see the beautiful art, I mean, first off, to me, I love it. I absolutely love going to a Catholic church and looking at the art. It's so beautiful to me. it's so solemn. And I sit there and I look at it, and I'm amazed by what God has inspired in some people to create for us to look at. Catholic churches are beautiful on the inside. Now, some would say dreary, because right in the middle of it, there's a crucifix. There's an image of God. God incarnate as Jesus Christ, nailed to the cross. And you can see this. But that was because that was the only way to show what that looked like to somebody who didn't understand. And later on, the Bible was put together. The printing press then was created, and then, you know, the Bible was able to be spread out to different parts of the world. But it still wasn't like, you know, it wasn't like now you can go to Barnes & Noble and pick up a Bible. There was maybe like one Bible, and it was in the church. And the priests read it and translated it. And where did they get their education? They got their education from seminary. So these things were studied over and over and over, and they were not open to just random priestly interpretations. They're interpreted the correct way. You know, it was studied. There was respect. There's tradition. So when you say, oh, Catholics, you guys worship idols, we don't worship idols. Okay. When you go to church, you know, we go to church, we go to feel the presence of God. You know, when we take communion, for us, communion is far more serious than Protestant churches. Why am I telling you this? Because there was a time when I went away from the Catholic Church, and I actually used to go to one of these mega churches, these Protestant American, you know, evangelist Protestant churches. Hold on. Excuse me. And that's why I know what I'm talking about when I say that basically these mega churches are just, they're a show. They're a good time, okay? You walk in, first thing in the morning, ooh, yeah. What's that one song, Oceans? They play Oceans, and everybody gets, oh, this is so beautiful. And everybody's raising their hands like, hey, look at me, look at me, look how much I'm praying, look how important I am. Yes. And then you got, you know, they got their coffee in their other hand, and, you know, the pastor's all cool and hip. And yeah, this is what we do at our church. And when you leave, there's a table where you can buy t-shirts with the church logo and stickers for your car. And, you know, it's like a concert. You know, when I go see Metallica, I hit the merch table and I get a new t-shirt. You know what I mean? And when I was young, I had Metallica stickers. I get it, man. Oh, you like your entertainers, you know what I mean? And, you know, obviously those churches are attractive, because what do they tell you? They tell you, oh, Jesus loves you, man, and like Jesus hung out with sinners, and don't worry about it, you know what I mean? Hey, just say this prayer and you're saved, and that's it. That's it. And obviously, it feels good, you know? It feels good when you go to a Protestant church and everybody prays for you and they put hands on you. That's a physical, chemical reaction to getting attention. You know what I mean? If they lay hands on you, you know, you got a bunch of people around you and they put their hands on your shoulder and they're praying for you, that's very moving. That feels amazing. But that feeling wears off. And then what? Then what starts happening when you start going to church and you're singing the songs and you're like, oh, I'm just not feeling it. And the show isn't fulfilling anymore because you've seen it 100 times. Then you stop going because they're not telling you the truth. They're giving you all this great stuff. Oh, yeah, Jesus loves you. This is great. Jesus wants you to succeed. What does Joel Osteen say? Oh God, he said, oh my, he's so many stupid quotes. He says stuff like, bring God into your board meeting. Jesus wants you to be the CEO. No. Okay, just no. Jesus doesn't want you to be the CEO of anything. Jesus wants you to follow him. He wants you to repent from your sin. You know, a lot of these progressive Christian church, which is an oxymoron, because, I mean, the book's been written And in Revelation, it says, nobody add to this. If you add to this, you are anathema, whatever. You know what I mean? I think that's how it ends. It's written. It's there. There's no adding to it. Okay? There's no subtracting from it. You either accept the whole thing or you do not accept any of it. So a lot of these churches will like to tell you that, oh, yeah, Jesus loves you just the way you are, man. Like, you know, you can be a sinner. And that's true. That's the thing. That's true. Jesus did dine with sinners. And he does love you. But he didn't dine with sinners and say, hey, man, now you guys are cool. Yeah, forget about it. It's all right. I saved you. The reason Jesus wants to dine with sinners, and I'm going to give you this from a sinner's perspective because I am a sinner. And even though I have made progress, I was so deep in sin and so deep into the ways of the world that I can tell you 100%, I know exactly what this means, why he did it. Because when you are in sin and you're in sin so much, you feel despair. There are times when you know, if your life is what? Chasing sexual pleasure, chasing the high from drugs, chasing money, chasing material things, those things will give you temporary endorphin. Did I say that right? Endorphins, right? That's the chemical that makes you feel good. And then you crash. And then you feel empty. And then you realize, oh, I'm still doing this more and more, but I'm feeling more and more empty. And then you start feeling despair. And then you look at other people who may have their stuff together. And you start envying, which is a sin. And then you start thinking, I'm not worth it. And somebody might come with you and try and tell you, hey, you're good enough for God. And then you're convinced, no, I'm not. I'm a piece of crap. I don't deserve this. That's why Jesus dined with sinners. Because when you're in despair, you don't believe that you deserve anything. And he went down there with them, not to party with them or to tell them that they were doing a great thing, but to tell them, hey, no, you still have value. You still have worth. I love you. You are my children. Sin no more. Repent. That's a hard word to hear. Repent. Those are hard, those are hard consonants. Now, I don't know what the original word was in Aramaic or in Latin. But repent. That's hard. That's a hard word. Repent. That's like metal lyrics. I can hear Slayer saying, repent. That's what it sounds like. Well, all it means is turn away. To turn away from. Turn away from your sin. Like, you're in despair. You can still be saved. Just repent. And here's the thing. Once you accept Jesus Christ into your life and you actually fall in love with God and decide to put God first, you have no choice but to repent because you don't ever want to hurt God's feelings. You don't want to offend God. That's the reason to do it. So what's another criticism of the Catholic Church? Oh, you guys believe in faith plus works. Yeah. You know, yeah, this is the problem with people thinking on their own that they can understand what God is talking about. You need the education, okay? Realize that we are reading a translation of a translation of a translation. And when Jesus is talking about the works, realize Jesus was a Jew. You understand that. And the apostles were Jews. They were all Jews. He was talking to other Jews. When he's talking about the works, he's talking about Jewish law. Okay? That's what he's talking about. Now, the question comes up, well, should we forget about Jewish law? He says, no, I'm here to fulfill Jewish law. But you need to have faith. Now, the Jewish law is the commandments. You know, that's pretty simple. All right. So faith, you can believe in God. Absolutely. Believe in God. That's faith. That's your faith. You believe and trust in God. By doing that, by engaging and having a relationship with God, you will naturally do the works. They will come to you. Because Jesus said, you know, if you love me, you follow my commandments. You know, the commandments are there. They're very well written. They're easy to follow. You don't even have to think about them if you really love God, if you really love Jesus. He said, if you love me, you follow my commandments. And then when he was asked what's the most important commandment, what are the most important ones? He said to love God. I'm going to get the quote wrong because, like I said, I'm Catholic. But he said to love God with all your heart and to love thy neighbor as I have loved him. Well, if you love God and you are in a relationship with God, you're not going to want to sin. Sin is anything that takes you away from God. Anything that leaves you in that empty despair feeling, okay? Coveting thy neighbor's wife, that leaves you in despair. You know? Thou shalt not murder. And yes, that's the original. Thou shalt not kill. I mean, we kill animals to eat them. That's fine. And then there are some occasions where, in self-defense, not that you should kill anybody, but it's forgivable. It's a forgivable sin. The commandment is thou shalt not murder. Put a pin on that because we'll come back to that later. But I, you know, those things like, you know, you shall take no other God before me. You should not create an idol, you know. Yeah, because if you love God, that wouldn't even come to mind. You wouldn't even think about that. So when he says the most important two commandments are to love God above all things and to love thy neighbor as I have loved them, you know, that one's hard. Now, loving thy neighbor doesn't mean, like in your simple mind, like, oh, you got to, you know, go out there, you got to go hug your neighbor and shit. And I mean, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean to say that word. You have to go out and hug everybody and be like, oh, I love you so much. No, because you know what? I don't even like most people, but I love them. What do I mean by that? I will respect their rights. I will defend their rights. If somebody's getting hurt in front of me, I will step up and try to defend and protect the best I can. That's loving your neighbor. That's taking care of them, making sure they're okay. Hey, man, did you eat? You know, sharing a meal. Loving your neighbor. That's all it is. It doesn't mean you have to, oh my gosh, when's your birthday? Come here, let's take pictures. Oh my God, I love you so much. No, you may not even like your neighbor. But you have to love them. Respect their basic human rights. Love your neighbor. But isn't it? It's not that simple either, though. Because he said, love your neighbor as I have loved them. Well, what did Jesus do for all of us? Jesus sacrificed his life for all of us. Jesus also said that there is no greater, no greater love than, there's no greater act of love. I'm going to screw this up. God, please let me get it right. Than sacrificing yourself for the people that you love, than sacrificing oneself for your friends. That's heavy. We're supposed to be like Christ. We're supposed to love our neighbors that much. And by neighbor, he means, you know, doesn't mean the guy who lives next to you. I mean, although technically that's your neighbor. It's everybody. You're supposed to love your enemy as well. Respect your enemy. Respect your enemy's human rights. You know, don't kick a man when they're down. Lift. Don't destroy. So that's what that is. I'm getting lost in words here, but I hope that I can regain my train of thought, because this is what happens every time I start pondering on these things. It is a lot, you know? We're not meant to understand all of this. This is God. Like, I'm just a stupid human, you know? We're in love with the things of the world. And you know what? I've kind of felt convinced that it is super hard to be righteous. I'm not going to stop trying. I'm not going to stop. loving God and trying to put him first. You know, I'm not going to say trying. I had to put him first. You have to put him first. Otherwise, none of this works. Because the devil runs the world. The devil has bought all the advertising. He's paid off all the judges and politicians. He's in your ear. He's in your phone. I mean, I'm sure most of you are listening to this off your smartphone. Most of you have Apple phones. What's the symbol for the app for Apple? It's an apple with a bite missing. Now, yeah, this is some stupid conspiracy theory, but it does make sense. Because what was the command? What did God tell Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden? He said, "Don't eat from this tree, the tree of knowledge of good and evil." Well, the devil came by and said, "You're not going to die. You're going to be as smart as God." Well, he told them that. Well, their little brains couldn't handle all the knowledge. The knowledge is for God. He told them, "You can be your own God." He told them that. What do we see when we go on the phones? What do we see when we go on social media? That we can be our own gods, that we can create our own life. We see temptation. We see a gateway into sin. We see all those things. Those things are there. It's in our phone. We carry it with us. The temptation, this all the accumulated human knowledge, you can access it from your phone. Now, you're not gonna. You're just gonna use it to take pictures of your food and post it on Instagram and try to, you know, show off. Oh, look at me. I'm traveling. Look at me. Let me take a picture of me over here. Wow, you guys, your life is so great. Meanwhile, there's like 50 pictures of the same thing, you know, because you got to put that perfect one out there. But what is the phone except access to all the knowledge? Knowledge of good and evil, right? And we use it for evil. It's temptation on the phone. There's sin. It's on the phone. That's why it's appropriate that that would be the symbol of the company Apple. It's an apple with the bite missing. It symbolizes the bite that Eve took from the apple when she was told not to. That was the fall of man. And we've been fallen ever since, you know? Now, this is where I get all scrambled in my brain because I think about these things a lot. And I am not a preacher. I'm not trained. I don't know how to keep these thoughts together and spit out something coherent that might actually be useful for you. I'm just sharing with you what goes on in my head, the kind of things that I think about all the time, but things that are important. So anyway, back to the Catholic Church. Oh, do you guys worship? Well, I just, yeah, there you go. I explained the idols. It's not, you know, they're not idols. They were tools to spread the message before the Bible was available. So how come you guys kiss the statues? Well, here's the thing. The Virgin Mary, the saints, Jesus, those are our loved ones, you know? Now, that might be a cultural thing. I know Puerto Ricans and Latins, we Latinos, we're very emotional people. And I know, I've noticed a lot of Eastern Europeans are like this too. People in Poland are very, like the Polish people are really cool. They're very sweet. And emotional too, though, you know, Italians also, I mean, so, you know, have you ever looked at a picture of a loved one and you don't have them, that loved one there in front of you at the time, but you have the picture and you'll hug it and you'll kiss it, you know? I have pictures of relatives that I'll never see again. And I get nostalgic when I see them, when I see those pictures, because it's like for a moment, I have them there with me. I've hugged pictures before. I've kissed pictures before. When I see pictures of my kids when they were little, I'm like, man, I'm never going to see them like that again. They were so cute when they were little. And so innocent. And so perfect, you know, in my eyes anyway. yeah, you hug. And so you hug the picture and you kiss the picture. And it's like they're there. That's kind of a cultural thing. Well, that's Catholics do that. Now, it looks weird to other people. Because when we look at the statue of the Virgin Mary, and we're like, that's Mary, you know? God, we love you. And, you know, there's a crucifix. There's Jesus. And then in the nativity scene, there's baby Jesus. We love you. We love you so much. We just, you know, we're not going to get a chance to hug God, to hug Jesus. I mean, I don't know what the rules of heaven are like, and I hope I get there. That's the one thing I want. If I ever get to heaven, which is where I want to go, I hope the rules are such that I get to hug Jesus. I just want to hug Jesus. That's it. I don't care. Could you imagine getting a chance to hug Jesus? I know it sounds weird. It sounds crazy. I might sound stupid. But yeah. We love these people. We love the saints. We love God. So we don't worship idols. We put the Bible together. The original Christians, when we take communion, this is where I was earlier. When we take communion, we know that we are taking the actual body of Christ in communion. That host, I mean, technically to the outside world, it's a wafer, it's a piece of bread to somebody who doesn't know. When that host is consecrated, the Holy Spirit enters that. And we're actually partaking in communion, just like the apostles did at the Last Supper. We're partaking. The Last Supper was the first Mass. And that's what we're recreating when we do it. So, you know, I hope that at some point you actually look at the Catholic Church and give it a chance. There's nothing scary about it. Yeah. Here's the thing. It's not going to be a show. It's not going to be super exciting and cool. It's not going to be on TV, I'll tell you that, because let me tell you, there is a conspiracy. There is a conspiracy to keep the true gospel away from the TV. That's why the only people allowed on TV are fake Christians. People like T.D. Jakes, Joyce Meyer, Joel Osteen. What's that one guy? I forget his name. I always forget his name. But he's like a freaky looking old guy who did the whole COVID-19. And he blew into it. Oh, the name escapes me. But, you know, when you look at these people, they look like used car salesmen. They look so phony and fake with the Botox and the freaking plastic surgery. And the gaudy jewelry and the gigantic mega churches, and they look fake. That serves a purpose. The reason they're allowed to do that is because, one, they're preaching a false gospel, which people will fall away from when they realize, oh, this is not fulfilling. And two, to anybody who may be thinking about Christianity, when they turn it on and they see that, they're like, no, I don't want that. So it turns people away. Because they think that that's what Christianity is. It turns people off. That's why those people are allowed to be on TV. That's why those people are promoted. That's why those demons go on Oprah. And Oprah says stuff like, well, there's many ways to God, right? No, there isn't. There is not. I'm sorry. There isn't. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. None go to the Father except through him. Deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow. It's really simple. It's the only way. It's the only true religion. It's the only true church. And I'm sorry, but we don't have to respect other religions. We do not. Christians have the truth. We don't have to respect false religions. We don't have to respect Islam. We don't have to respect Buddhism. We don't have to respect Taoism. We don't have to respect Hinduism. There is only one true church, only one true way, and that's Jesus Christ. And those of us who are Christians, we know this. We know this for a fact. Don't get it twisted. Jesus didn't come to hang out and be your homeboy. He's looking for soldiers. We're at war. We are at war. This is a war. Life is hard. Anybody who preaches you this prosperity gospel and says, oh yeah, you don't worry about it, man. Just say this prayer and you're saved. But that doesn't tell you that you need to repent from sin is not doing you a service. And here's the thing about that commandment earlier when Jesus said, love your neighbor as I have loved you. There's work involved in that because you know what? Those of us that are Christians, we have a burden because we would be jerks. We would be bad people if we didn't share this. We have this great gift. We have this gospel that is absolutely true. We can't keep it to ourselves. We would be bad people if we didn't share it and try to save other people. If you love your neighbor, save him. If you love your neighbor, save. You see your neighbor drowning, throw him a line. If you see a van headed for your neighbor, warn him, hey, there's a van coming at you. You're in front of a bus. And I guess that's what I want to learn how to do. You know, we've been beaten into thinking that it's cringy or the Christians are annoying when we try and share our faith. But we have to because we love you. Because we would be bad, bad Christians if we didn't share what we know. We would be terrible if we didn't share what we know. If we weren't constantly telling people, hey, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Repent from your sin. Now, repent sounds like a heavy word. I've told you this. But all it means is turn away. Does Jesus love gay people? Yeah, Jesus loves gay people. He doesn't love the sin. No. Because here's the thing. Jesus also doesn't love promiscuous people, promiscuous straight people. He doesn't love drunks. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm saying that wrong. He loves all the people. But the sins are what take you away from God. So, if you have gay proclivities, if you are attracted to somebody of the same sex, yeah, it's a sin to engage in the act. But having the thought and the feeling in itself, that's not a sin. But you need to come to that. That's between you and God and you and Jesus. And yeah, I mean, you're going to have to wrestle with that. You're going to have to choose. But here's the thing. If you fall in love with Jesus, the choice will be made without you even thinking about it. You won't even think about it. You know what I mean? You're not supposed to engage in that kind of activity. Just like I'm not supposed to engage in promiscuous activity. It's just as much a sin for me to be straight and go out and be a, how do I say this nicely? Be a whoremonger, you know? Go out and spend my days being drunk and high and just pursuing temporary pleasures. Those are sins that are just as big as engaging in homosexual activity. If the only sin that I had to overcome was not engaging in homosexual activity, that would be a blessing. I'm like, if I was a good person and the only thing was that I had, you know, gay tendencies, I know that if I fell in love with Christ, that I'm like, when you think about it, I could live a life of celibacy. It could happen. There's plenty of people who do it. It's the activity. It's giving into it. Because the devil wants you to give into it. The devil says, no, this feels good. Do it. This is what you want. And then after you've enjoyed the sin and you've had that temporary rush, the feeling goes away. So you have to keep doing it again and doing it again. And more you end up away from God. That's what the devil wants. I don't know. I don't know if I'm making any sense. The fact is, this happens every time I think about these things. This may be the worst podcast I've ever recorded. You know, it may not even make any sense. I may sound like a crazy person. You may want to lock me up. But I hope that it made some kind of sense. Because in my brain, I'm speaking the words, and sometimes I don't know what I'm going to say next. But this is truly how I feel. And until I've mastered the art of being able to openly speak to people about the truth, at least I can do it with this microphone and record it. Because I don't want to be a bad Christian. You know, I want to love my neighbor. So I can't keep all this to myself. That would be mean. It would be mean to not share the peace that comes with Christ. He's not going to make your life easy. Life is tough. Life is hard. But in him you'll find peace. Especially if you understand that you're supposed to be carrying your cross. You're supposed to feel it. Supposed to deny yourself, deny your urges, put Christ first. If you do that, you will reach heaven. And what is heaven? Heaven is being with God. Sometimes you get a glimpse, sometimes you get a taste of that here. There are times you can get a taste of it. And I can't put it in words because I'm not somebody who can translate the power and the voice of God to you. I'm just a human. I'm just a dude with lots of problems. And this is what I feel. We have a lot of work to do. The world has fallen apart. Now more than ever, we need God. And even if you're not a believer, you need to know that we need God. We need him. Even if you're just I used to be libertarian. I'm no longer libertarian. I'm actually conservative now. Hold on. Even if you're a non-believer, you need to understand the need for God. Even if you're just like some patriotic, American libertarian, and you feel like, well, I don't need God. Well, you personally may feel like you don't need God, and I would like to argue otherwise, but until you come to that realization yourself, I need to point out to the fact that even in our Constitution of the United States, John Adams wrote that the Constitution only works for a moral and religious people. It is not set to function with any other type of belief system. Like, it's based on Christian values. Because if we all share the same moral compass, then the Constitution makes sense. You know what I mean? The right to keep and bear arms is an absolute catastrophe if the people don't believe in right to life. If somebody thinks it's okay to kill, then the right to keep and bear arms makes absolutely no sense. It only makes sense for a righteous people. We need God. Only somebody who respects life understands the great responsibility of carrying something that can end it. You know? That's just one example. In our very constitution, then, you know, this whole idea of innocent until proven guilty, and the Fifth Amendment not incriminating yourself, and gosh, is it the Fourth or 14th Amendment? One where you're not, you know, that protects you against unlawful search and seizure. These are all based on Blackstone's equation, which is based on the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. Okay, Blackstone's equation reads that it's better for 10 guilty people to escape than one innocent person suffer. Well, in Sodom and Gomorrah, God said, you know, if there's one righteous person, if there's one good person, I will save the city. And there wasn't. Because none of us are good. We've all fallen. Anyway. I don't know if any of this made sense. And I'm scared to listen back to it. I'm really scared to listen back to it. I hope that somewhere in my incoherent ramblings, I said at least one thing that was smart. I hope that I made sense to somebody. I hope you got something out of it. I know that there's going to be more like this because this is something that I felt like I needed to do for a long time. And maybe I finally do need to stop being lazy and write out what I'm going to say and write out my thoughts instead of just flying off the seat of my pants and just trusting that the words are going to come to me. Because I said a lot of words. I said a lot of things. I hope that some of them made sense. Excuse me, sorry. I hope that I made sense to somebody. At least one snippet. But, you know, that's what happens. I'm a very simple person. I'm a very simple man. I have very simple knowledge. And right now I'm in the middle of a love affair that I have with God, our creator. And, you know, when you get obsessed with something, you want to learn as much about it as you can. So I spent so much time reading my Bible and praying the rosary and looking out for those little times where I know that God is communicating with me. And I'm not crazy. I know that. Because God is real. God is so real. Jordan Peterson nailed this. It was the most fantastic thing that I've heard. One of the greatest things that I've ever heard when he was talking about the Bible. He said, the Bible is not only true, but there can be no truth without it. The Bible is the pre-existing condition for the truth to even be able to be expressed. Think about that. It is the absolute truth. So, I hope, before I turn this thing off, I hope, again, that this was at least entertaining, right? Isn't that the point of podcasts? This has been entertaining. Maybe you put this on when you're trying to go to sleep and you need a voice to fall asleep to, which would be weird because imagine you're sleeping and then my stupid voice comes into your head in the middle of your dream and totally mess it up. Or maybe, I don't know. I would love to know when people listen to it because I do get the demos. And shout outs to the UK, yo. UK coming through. Getting quite a few listeners from the UK. All young men too. I don't know. By young men, I mean, you know, 18 to 30. That's the demo, right? I hope that something made sense. Or maybe you're listening to laugh at it. I don't care. That's fine. That's okay too. I'll get better. I will get better at this. I hope that I make sense next time. But anyway, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.